We've been talking the last several weeks about relationships, and particularly a central relationship of marriage. We've been talking to those that are single, looking forward to marriage, and saying, what do you do to get ready for marriage? A few of you are in that category. We were talking to those that have already been committed to someone else and are married at this moment, and saying, how do you assure success in your marriage? How do you let God's principles and His Word lead, guide, direct, and bless you in your marriage? Today, we're talking about staying pure. If you've got your handout notes, there's an insert inside your handout this morning that includes notes for today, some scriptures that we're going to go over, really some fantastic scriptures, some of my favorite scriptures that have to do with marriage and purity. Now, we started out by talking about seeking God. If you're going to have a good marriage, the first thing you've got to do is stop looking for number one and make God your number one and make whoever you're looking for your number two. And even commit, if you are married, to say, I'm going to pray with, on a regular basis, my number two to my number one, to God. Seek God first. If you don't have that foundation, you're not going to be successful biblically in a good marriage. Then we talked about fighting fair, and we decided, hey, the Bible talks about conflict in marriage a lot, so you're going to fight. The question isn't if you're going to fight, it's rather, are you going to fight fair? Are you going to do fighting in a biblical way to resolve conflict? And it was not resolving conflict with victory on your mind, but rather with resolution and harmony on your mind. We also spent some time last week talking about having fun in marriage, and it got a little bit intimate as we talked about Song of Solomon and what marriage is designed to be when it comes to intimacy. Having fun face-to-face in communication, having fun side-to-side in companionship, and having fun, what did we say? Belly button to belly button. That was it. That was kind of a memorable one, huh? Well, today, we're talking about how to stay pure. Staying pure. Now, either you knew that was the topic and you came because you want some help with that, or you had no idea and you would have stayed away if you'd have known what we were talking about, you know? I had a couple of people say as they came in, well, waiting for this morning's subject, you know, waiting for this topic. Can you help us at all? Is there any help for us? You know, we kind of live in a hypocritical culture, don't we? I mean, you think about this for a minute. On many fronts, marriage is celebrated. I mean, when I go to like my in-laws and my folks, as they get into those 60 years of marriage, and you just bring that up, 63 years of marriage, and the place just explodes. Yay! I can't believe they did it that long. Yay! There's this celebration, and the culture's just like, whoa, celebrate longevity and faithfulness and all that comes with that. And yet, on almost every other front, marriage is assaulted. Marriage is put down. On almost every TV program that you listen to or watch, you'll see the destruction of marriage attempted to. In fact, the hypocritical, almost schizophrenic nature, I think, comes in the gay marriage debate. I mean, because in our state, partnerships had all the exact same rights as married people, but they didn't have the name marriage. So civil unions had medical reasons, insurance reasons, every other thing that was a medical and societal benefit was there for civil unions. But they had to have that word. They had to have, we want gay marriage to be legalized. They have it now. Okay? No other benefits but the name. Did you find that interesting? Marriage is, in some ways, still, well, why are they striving for that name? Is it curious to you? I find it extremely curious. There's this war going on about marriage. And while in some cases we applaud good, solid marriages, on the other hand, there's an attempt on all fronts, many fronts, to destroy, to deteriorate and to destruct marriage. So here we stand with all kinds of kind of conflicting messages. So in the midst of that, what I want to talk about today is some of God's truth, some of what God says about marriage and even staying pure in that. Highlight this verse. It's on your handout, but let's read it with me if you would. Read it together as we think about this. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually on all the sexually immoral. Hebrews 13:4. As we read that, notice a couple of things. The marriage should be honored. Marriage should be honored by whom? By all. So is that single people? Well, they fit into the all, right? How do single people honor marriage? They're not married. How do single people honor marriage? Do they applaud when there's a 63-year marriage and say, yes? Well, that could be part of it. But your behavior as a single person is going to determine whether or not you honor marriage in your life. You follow me on that? How you behave in your own relationships will determine whether you honor. How about married folks? Does that fit in the all? Or once you're married, you know, all these single and dating programs from eHarmony.com and Match.com, I mean, all these. What is the goal of every one of those? And when do you determine success with those programs? When you get married. Because we all know that once you get married, every one of your needs are met, right? Yeah. So unfortunately, you know what's arisen? Is a whole set of apps and programs that are not designed to match, make, and marry, but rather to adulterate, to have affairs. Flirt.com. And they're out there. They're pelting our screen daily. You know? Are we schizophrenic? Are we hypocritical? Or could we ask that this verse, marriage, should be honored by all? Second phrase on that, the marriage bed. He gets right into it, doesn't he? The marriage bed. What's he talking about here? Our intimate physical relationship. He's talking about intimacy. He's saying the marriage bed should be kept pure. Well, how do we do that? What is the plan? And the reasoning says, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. God's plan for sexual fulfillment is within marriage. He designed marriage with such a goal in mind that couples would come together and that they would meet their deepest needs and deepest longings and long-lasting fulfillment be found in that sphere, in that realm. Now, when we don't find that, God calls us to deepen our walk with Him, to find it within those confines and to allow His leadership to grow in that. Now we're going to talk about God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. The adulterer. We're going to talk about adultery a little bit today and how that's affecting our culture and our society. And the sexually impure. Why is impurity in marriage increasing? Let me mention a couple of things. This may or may not be on your handout. Number one, more temptations today exist than in the past. Okay? We still sin the same old way, but there's lots of technologically advanced ways for temptation to enter our minds and in our world. It was, some of us growing up, pornography, affairs, immorality was not nearly the ready issue that it is today. Don't some of you just shake your head and wonder, how are these kids going to grow up in the world that we live in today? It's scary. It's a challenge. You can't, people are getting married later. It used to be that young people, their age of marriage was early 20s. That was very, very common. Now, it's late 30s. Very, very common. If you look at the marriage statistics, people are getting married a lot. Well, what's that have to do with purity and our culture, and really why marriage and impurity is increasing? Well, when there's that span, there's that gap in there, there's a lot of baggage that gets brought into marriage through those years, that in the past couples were married, now they're not. In fact, what happens today is couples do married things when they're not married. They cohabitate. They live together. They engage in married activities really and are not married. They live together. Then they break up. You know what the number one cause of a couple breaking up is? Double what every other one is? A cheating partner. It's almost like our dating world today is breeding and fostering adultery. Couples, they live together and they cheat on one another and then they break up. Couples live together, they cheat on one another, and then they break up. Then they decide, well, maybe we'll get married. And there's this pattern there. Cheat on one another and then break up. Could that be an answer to why the statistics are so staggering of marriages that don't make it in our world? Well, here's an interesting thing. Recently, a poll of American public, asked the question, how many of you believe that it's always wrong to commit adultery with on your spouse? You'd think that actually been falling. It actually has been going up. It was last the poll was 93% of American public said it's always wrong to cheat on your spouse. Now here's the interesting part of that. The second part was people that engage in immoral or improper or adulterous behavior. Now, wouldn't you think if the belief that it's wrong was going up, that the behavior would be going down? So just the opposite is happening. They believe it's wrong, and yet the behavioral track is 75% of people that are engage in what all of us would consider immoral, improper behavior. Now, that includes pornography. That's part of where that statistic is at. Isn't that interesting? So that's why I say we kind of live in this hypocritical, schizophrenic society and culture. We're going to look at this a little bit further, but the idea of behavior being the outward purity that God is looking for. Oh, I missed one other thing. It's a growing sense of entitlement was on those other reasons for temptation and impurities increasing in marriage today. The idea of I need to get my needs met. Well, let me discuss a little bit about this box of lies. How many of you have seen Jimmy Fallon and his late night program? If you haven't, you know, you may or may not be a fan, but there's something really interesting that he's doing every so often. He plays a little game with some of his guests on the show, and it's called The Box of Lies. And it's kind of one of those games where you're trying to trick the other person, and it's like a detection of whether or not you're good at lying or whether or not someone can tell if you're lying or not. Take a look at this. This is just a couple of minutes of a guest with Jimmy on Box of Lies. Well, you get the idea, right? The idea, that they're really good. You want to be good in that game at presenting a lie. You want to present a lie so well that someone else believes it. And I saw the indication that that's kind of what's going on in our world. There's a lot of lies or boxes of lies being told to us. And we've got to be the detector and to say, is that truth or is that a lie? What is it and how can we determine those things? When it comes to outward behavior, when it comes to what the Bible lists, it says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Now, this is real important that we think about impurity here, okay? It's not just like a speck of dust in a glass of water. The image that you get here in terms of impurity, it's the root word for adulterate or adultery. It would have more to do with like cyanide poison in your water. The idea of poison adulteration is there. He says, take this seriously. There's a real risk when it comes to relationships of impurity entering into your relationship. One visual picture, and I apologize if this is not good. You will remember it. Someone said, it'd be like taking a chicken pot pie and having a cat have diarrhea on it. You know? Ugh. And be like, that's the type of impurity picture that's here. He says, don't let there be among you even a hint of sexual impurity or immorality or any kind of impurity. It's like cyanide poisoning or cat mess. And you all go, whoa, I don't want to come close to that. And that's really the point here, is when it comes to impurity, he says, keep that for me. See, it's like there's that little window, like for Jimmy Fallon, where he's looking through and listening to the lies that are coming through. And what happens when it comes to adultery? What does our culture and the world tell us in their box of lies, what adultery has to offer? Oh, you need someone that makes you feel good. You need someone that will esteem you the way you deserve to be esteemed. Oh, you need someone that will meet your needs, the world says. You know, you deserve better, and some people even spiritualize it. God didn't make me to be unfulfilled. Therefore, you see the lie. That little box, the world's telling us the box of lies, and God wants us to be truth detectors and to say no. Instead, he says, listen to this. The truth is this, biblically. Adultery destroys your life. Can I say it any more clearly? Adultery destroys your life. I cannot tell you the number of times I've sat in the counseling room with couples, and time after time after time, what has happened to destroy their marriage and their life? Adulteration. Poison has entered the system, and they're wondering why the relationship has gone awry. Because they listened to the lie, they believed the box of lies the world told instead of the truth. What God says, don't even come close. He says, be pure. Be pure. In fact, I think the encouragement would go for us. It says, keep a path far from her, the adulterous woman, the temptress. The tempter, don't go near the door of her house. Stay as far away as you can. The adultery, fornication, box of lies is so huge. In fact, what does the Apostle Paul say? Flee from sexual immorality. Run, Forrest, run! You know, it's not see how close you can get without getting burned. It's flee. Now, the Bible doesn't say flee about other sins. I mean, we are to be victorious and stand up to sins. But the one thing that the Bible says over and over and over again to run is sexual sin. Don't even let it get close. There's an understanding of how we were made and how this temptation can take root and take hold. And so he says, remember, adultery can destroy your life and your relationship. It's as if I said, all right, we're going down I-5, move the barrier because I'm going on the other lane and I'm going to hit head on somebody. And you go, why would anyone do that? They're not only going to destroy themselves, they're going to destroy everyone in their life and family or car. They're going to destroy other innocent people. I see it happening regularly. Instead, he says, flee from sexual immorality. Look at this. You are not your own. Now, this is for Christians. By the way, can I say, if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, if your life is not the Lord's, in a way, he said, you can do what you want to destroy your life. But if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, your body is not your own. Your body has been dedicated and given to the Lord. You were bought at a price. Notice what it says, therefore honor God with your body. That's the positive. That's the truth part of it. We know God's telling the truth. Honor God with your body. Now I need to mention, let's go on to the next one. This has to do with in the heart. How can a man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my, what? Heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. Listen to this. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let's talk about inward purity for a minute. You know, we got the behavioral purity, that's adultery or fornication. What is this one? This is lust. The inward temptation that leads to adultery or fornication is lust. And the chief instrument Satan uses in promoting lust in our world, you know what it is? Pornography. Huge, detrimental, monumental industry in our world today. As Satan's lies, box of lies, picture for me, with me if you will, this pelting of box of lies. What does the inward purity lie equate to? You hear things like this. It's okay to look. It's okay to shop as long as you don't buy. Have any of you ever heard that? Well, I only read pornography for the articles. Yeah, that was more in our era, more than the internet. Nobody's going to get hurt. It's a victimless, you know, system. You've heard that one? A victimless crime. How about this one? It'll spice up your love life. Huh? Heard that? Heard that? Yeah, I just think that's a box of lies being pelted to us from the enemy. Or how about this one? No one's watching. No one's going to know. It's harmless. It's just art. I mean, we could go on and on about the lies that get told to us through this box called lust. What did Jesus say? Jesus addressed it. Jesus knew at the heart. He said, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery already with her, where? In his heart. See, it's not just about outward behavior. What Jesus was trying to get to was what takes place before. You know, we draw the line at behavior and say, okay, I won't go over that line. Not realizing that way over here is where we need to start. Because there are many, many steps to get to that line. And they usually involve the predication, the fostering, the promotion of lust in our lives. God says, no, here's the truth. Instead of promoting that, he says, don't look on a woman lustfully. Otherwise, you commit adultery with her already in your heart. That list of lies is so prolific And God says, listen to the truth. God didn't make us merely sexual bodies. God made us whole, and he desires for us to see sexuality in the context of a full relationship, not just the physical part. That's the lie that pornography promotes. Now, I want to let you know that this is really killing a lot of marriages. I see pornography and its results permeating our culture and our society. What some thought would spice up their marriage has in many cases destroyed marriages. It breeds a lack of trust, a lack of honesty, and a lack of intimacy. In fact, even in secular fields, even in the world's system, like that's why I say they're kind of schizophrenic, more and more articles are being written about the secular, not in a spiritual religious mode at all, but just what pornography has done to our young men, our young people. Why is impotence and sexual dysfunction on a huge rise just at the same time that pornography and its use is on a huge rise? They're looking at the correlation between those. Articles I just read this week that said, pornography ruined my marriage sex life. Yeah? That's what's happening. That's what's taking place. When some of us were kids, you know, we had to go to great lengths to even be introduced to pornography. It was an uncle, or it was someone at work, or it was someone, and it was, you know, stashed. It was a long ways away. It was not readily available. Nowadays, all you got to do is have a smartphone. All you got to do is one click away from free, unfiltered pornography. If that's the temptation that is there, and that's the challenge that this box of lies called lust, impurity of the heart. Let me talk about one other box of lies. It kind of reminds me of dominoes in a way, because this one is more the impurity in the heart. It's not just having to do with adultery or fornication. It's not just lust and pornography. It's more the idea of flirting with that. It's more getting close enough. It's the idea of being so close, but not yet. So close, but not in. Here's what the Bible says. There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality among you. You know, sometimes you pretend there's nothing wrong with a little touch. You pretend like there's nothing wrong with a little flirtatious look. And yet, that's where it starts. So I'm backing up from adultery to lust to even flirtation, what goes into that. Watch this push. The domino effect, right? New world record of dominoes, 54,000 dominoes. And what did it start with? Why? Well, how could you knock down 54,000 things with one touch? You catch that? It's the nature of the setup. And folks, it's true for us. That's why you don't want to have your finger there. That's what flirtation is about. And that's what the Bible describes as another one of those pack of lies. Oh, I can get close enough. I'm not going to get burned. The Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not get burned? No. And neither can a man, the Bible says, be flirting with evil and not get burned. The lie the world tries to predicate and propagate to us is that it's not going to hurt. And yet, the Bible's real clear. God wants us to know it not only hurts, it hurts his cause, it hurts the body of Christ, and it hurts our marriages. See, God wants more than anything else for us to have solid marriages and relationships that will allow his glory to be seen in the midst of those relationships. It's a lot of ways Like the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, marriage is designed to be the two coming together. He says, the two shall become one. And I believe that's why Satan wants to work so overtime on destruction of marriage. You know, the box of lies here would say, it's not that serious. It's harmless fun. What's a little, I just winked at her. I didn't kiss her. I just winked at her. It was just a glancing touch. I never really did anything. And I'm encouraging you, let that lie be exposed. Instead, step back from that and say, I don't even want to come close to that domino toppling. It was only I've heard so many people say it. It was just a Facebook post. It was totally innocent. I just texted her. Yeah. And some of you know, even today as I'm speaking, that there's an issue going on with you in your own private, spiritual, mental, thought life. And God wants to encourage us, bless us, and say, come out of the darkness, come into the light. Repent from that. Allow that box of lies to be exposed for what it really is. Instead, let God's truth. How does a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Three ways that we have in our responses to impurity. You ever know anybody that gets defensive about it? I see that happen. Defensiveness usually is because of conviction. Oh, it was nothing? Probably it was. Remorse is a better, being sorry, but the best biblical response is repentance. The Bible says, turn away from that way of thinking. In fact, 1 Corinthians 5 is so important at a time like this, where it says, he's come to make all things new. That's why the title for this series is not about looking back. It's about drawing a line in the sand and saying, from this time forward. It's not about what went wrong in the past. It's saying, God, would you take this day forward? So if it's in those behaviors, or if it's in the lust category, or if it's even in the flirting category, would you make a commitment to God? Make a commitment to your spouse. Make a commitment to an accountability partner in the body of Christ that you would say, I want help to stay pure. Some things that you can do. Have a plan of action. Have a plan of action. If you're married, make sure that marriage fun is being had. That's God's plan for marriage. Battle lines. You know, you're going to have to fight the battle one way or the other. You're either going to fight it or it's going to be inside of you and you'll become the liar. Strive to have no secrets. You've heard this saying, we're only as sick as our secrets. Yeah. So between spouses and between friends, right now I've got four young men that have asked me to be their accountability partner on their technical devices. And we share that. So that the clicks they make on their machine get reported and vice versa. That's good. That's a good assurance kind of mark. That's available for free for any person that wants it. You want to be free? The opportunity is there. That will help you. Now, you can find ways around anything. But if you want help, help is available. And accountability is one of those things that really helps. Here's a phrase. Get closer to get further away. If you want to get further away from the sin, get closer to the person God's called you to be intimate with. Get closer to the Lord. Get closer to His Word. Get closer in fellowship. Get closer in accountability. Get closer to get further away from evil. Show up. Some of you need to say, I'm never going to be alone with the opposite gender. Not at a convention, at work, not driving in my car. I have to do the same thing here. I don't counsel women privately. This is a surveillance going, you know? It's in open settings where there are eyes. I don't want to put myself at risk. We should all be in that category, setting up for ourselves safeguards. One thing that helps me, I have little pictures on my phone or of my family. And sometimes it just helps to look at your kids and your grandkids and your family and go, that's what's at stake by my thought life. That's what's at stake by my behavior. Do I want to put that at risk? And just a few minutes of praying over the picture or two on my phone, it makes me go away with a different defense. You follow what I'm saying? So whatever works for you to stay pure, build those things into your life that will help encourage and bless you. Because otherwise, that box of lies is going to continue to pelt your mind, pelt your heart, and you've got to be the truth detector. What does the Word say? What's God say about that? And how does He want you to sow into your life, life itself, and life abundantly? Heavy subject, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for calling us to purity. Thank You for wanting us to be pure as You are pure. Lord, when it comes to our intimate life, when it comes to our sexual life, we just want to surrender like You called us to You and to Your leadership. Lord, for outward purity when it comes to our behavior, for inward purity when it comes to the things going on in our mind and our eyes. Lord, when it comes to a flirtatious spirit, Lord, would You just deal with us and cause us more and more than ever before to be solidly in Your lead and directed by You. Give us Your help, Lord. Give us Your Holy Spirit's strength. We need You at times like this more than ever before. We call on You in Jesus' name. Amen.